Welcome to Life at the Museum from the Kids and Museums Youth Panel. I'm Mohammed. Dust off your ideas of what a museum is and join me and the rest of the youth panel as we explore museum life behind the glass. Future-focused conversations bridging the gap between young people and old institutions, from career tips to climate activism. What can museums offer young people today and how can we shake things up? In this episode, Millie is at the National Emergency Services Museum to find out all about their future plans for future visitors. Over to you, Millie.
Here at the National Emergency Services Museum, you are bombarded by stuff in the most amazing way as soon as you step through the doors. You don't know where to look first. Currently, I am stood by a massive boat. It's a lifeboat and it's the biggest one I've seen in a while. And we're in the middle of the city centre. Walking through the museum, though, you pass by fire engines, bicycles, trenches, just the most interactive experience I've seen in a while. And it is a full journey. You don't know what's going to be around the next corner, and I absolutely love that. There just seems to be so much to explore, and I can't wait to see the next room. My name's Millie, and I'm from the youth panel at Kids and Museums. I'm here today in a museum that is really getting a reputation for itself. The National Emergency Services Museum is based in Sheffield and boasts wins such as the Family Friendly Museum Award, and it was also the winner of the Best Small Museum category. I'll be speaking today with Rosie Norrell, who's a Learning and Communities Coordinator here at the museum. With her, I'll also be speaking with Helen Shepherd, who's the PR and Marketing Coordinator. So today, the museum is full of life as they celebrate their award win with a family fun day. I think today's offerings of crafts, trails and games really epitomises the approach this museum has to their work. The hands-on and interactive offerings are a far cry from the common misconception of a dusty old museum. It seems like you guys have so many exciting things to explore under one roof here. I'd love it if you could tell us if you have a favourite item or a corner of the museum, or is that like having to pick a favourite child?
Well, I've not got children, I've only got one cat, so I'm going to hand that one over to
I've got two children, no, I don't have favourites on. I think we all sort of have like an emergency service that's a little bit closer to our hearts. So mine is the RNLI. Sorry to it. I like all the other ones, but the RNLI. And my favourite object as the vehicle would be the lifeboat, our City of Sheffield lifeboat, because I just think you do not expect a lifeboat in the middle of Sheffield. So that's why I love it. And we can hear it, can't we, outside our office window?
Yeah, we hear the shrieks, don't we?
We hear the shrieks and they're like, wow, it's a boat! Really loud. Yeah. So I just love that reaction. Favourite object, you might have to do your favourite bit.
Well, I mean, working in a museum, it helps if you're a history nerd, but I am a serious history nerd. And I've always been really interested in the Second World War and around that period of history. So I love our Blitz exhibition and I absolutely adore the fire engine that is outside the Blitz exhibition. It's a 1940 Leyland, which is about as nerdy as I get in terms of in terms of the specs of the engine, but it's the last surviving engine that served in the Sheffield Blitz. And so I love it, not just for the object itself, but for all the history and the story and everything that it tells about. An amazing period in British history, an amazing time in Sheffield's history. So that's my favourite.
That is really interesting, guys. Thank you so much for giving us a little insight. I think it really paints a picture for anyone who's not been here, so that's really great. I guess it would be really interesting to hear about you guys, how you got to where you are today, your kind of career path. Rosie, if we start with you, it'd be really interesting to hear a bit more about yourself.
Yeah, so I started out as a teacher. So I was a teacher for 5 years, had a lovely time being a teacher, absolutely loved it, but just felt like it wasn't becoming for me. I wasn't enjoying it as much, and I've always loved museums, heritage, anything like that. And I'm a history nerd, much like Helen, a history nerd. So I looked into doing some volunteering at my local museum, which was Surrey Heath Museum. I'll give them a shout out. And a National Trust property as well, down in the south, because as you can tell, I'm not from Sheffield. I did that, got some really good grounding in museum education, because obviously I had a lot of knowledge in the national curriculum and what teachers were looking for and that sort of thing, because I was one. But getting that grounding in museums and the way they work was really instrumental to me then getting a job in another museum called Petersfield Museum, which also has police cells. So that seems to be a theme for me and my museum jobs. And I had a wonderful 2 years there. And then I had my little boy, first little boy. And during that time, my husband got a job in Yorkshire. So we headed up north, because he's from Yorkshire, headed back to his homeland. I was looking for a job in museums. Luckily for me, as I was a teacher, I could do supply teaching, so I was doing supply teaching. And I came across the National Emergency Services Museum. I was like, this sounds amazing. So I went in, and of course I brought my little boy, who was two at the time, and I brought him in. And usually when I went into a museum with a toddler, I instantly was like, don't touch anything. Don't go near anything. You know, like rein them in, you know, make sure they're really close to you. I walked through the door and I just instantly was like, okay, I can relax. Like, this is an environment for him. It's, you know, this is what he loves. We spent absolutely ages just looking around. I was like, yes, I love it. So then I spoke to our CEO, my now boss, Matt, and asked him about the job. And again, I saw him, and he was in his painting overalls, because he was doing some sort of work or some sort of job. He gets stuck in. He's very hands-on, our boss. And he came down to talk to me, and he apologised for what he was wearing. But I was like, this must be a great place to work if the boss is just like, yeah, no, I'm going to be doing what everyone else is doing, like volunteers and everything are doing and maintenance are doing. And so we had a good chat. Here I am now, 4 years later, still here.
Wow. So did you start off in the role that you're currently in, or did you progress within?
So originally I was learning and discovery coordinator, and now I'm learning and communities coordinator. So I've sort of added communities to my little learning bubble. So I've expanded a bit more. So it's not just about education and school groups. It's also about going out into the community. So lots of links with Create Sheffield, for example, do a lot of work with them. I also go to lots of different events as well. For example, Fire Station Open Days, that sort of thing as well. But looking at other ways we can sort of integrate ourselves within the community.
Wow, that's really exciting. Seeing a bit of a face for the community, you know.
Oh, yes. I think that, I mean, Helen will know more than me, because they wrote her, Holly Gosling, who was our curator, and Matt, they wrote a book about the history of West Bar. And it's always been a place for the community, so we want to keep that community spirit in.
Nice plug for the book, Rosa.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah,
only $7.99 in the hour of like a shop.
And how about yourself, Ellen?
Well, much like Rosa, I've been a history nerd forever, but my background is actually in PR and marketing and communications. Which I studied at university and then went into various internal and external communications roles. So that was always my background. I hit sort of 40, 41 and thought, actually, I'm not sure that I want to be doing the job I'm doing for the next 20, 25 years. And I was in a position where I could basically give up work for a year and look at doing something different. And I'd always loved museums, I'd always loved heritage. And I thought about potentially looking for a way into museums. So I started looking for volunteer opportunities, and I ended up volunteering here in the collections team. So working with the archive and working with the collections, absolutely loved it, literally from the first week. As Rosie has said, such a lovely team, so welcoming, such a nice place to work. So I got into the collections team and did volunteering for about a year. And then was talking to Matt about potentially doing some, you know, how we really needed to market ourselves. A lot of people didn't know we were here. They didn't know what we were up to. They still had this idea that we were just a row of fire engines, didn't really know what the museum looked like. And I kind of nudge, wink, wink, and went, you really need someone to do your PR, don't you? And so he took me on initially a day a week to do PR, then two, and then three. So I now do 3 days a week here, which I split between PR and marketing, but I still get to do a little bit in the collection and with the archive as well, which I love doing. So I really feel I fell on my feet here. I took a bit of a risk in looking to make a career change at the age I did. Could have gone horribly wrong, but it really couldn't have worked out any better. And so I've been here now, 5 years, 4 years.
For us and for you.
Yeah. as a favourite British. Thank you. So nice. So yeah, I just absolutely adore it here, and you know, completely agree with some of the things that Rosie said. It's just such a welcoming team to work. You know, you walk in and you're, you know, I mean, Matt, you know, our boss, works harder than any of us, and we all work hard because we all love the museum and we want it to be successful. But he works as hard as anyone. He's absolutely puts his heart and soul into it, and it's really lovely to be part of a team where, you know, you really know everybody is pulling in the same direction. And I know that sounds a bit twee and sickly, sorry everybody, but it's true.
It's true, isn't it? We've all got the same vision.
And we're lucky in that we're such a diverse team. There's very little that can get thrown of us that one of us can't somewhere along the line handle, isn't there? Whether it's...
Yes, we've all got different skill sets.
We've all got different skill sets, and whatever crops up, one of us will be able to go, I think I know what I'm doing here. I think I can handle this. So we are lucky. We've got a lot of skills, and we're a lot of mixed skills within the... Is this the point of mentioning my Blue Peter badge, do you think? I've got a Blue Peter badge.
I'll just throw that in.
Just one Blue Peter badge, Ellen.
Funny you should say that, Rosie. I've actually got two. I've got a blue and white one and a green one. You wouldn't have thought would you?
You never mentioned that, ever. Like, I had no idea.
I feel like we need to hear a bit of context to it. Come on.
Rosie's heard this story a million times. I apologise, Rosie.
It's all right.
As a child, absolute Blue Peter obsessive. Utter obsessive. Like, Saint used to send birthday cards to the dogs, used to write to all the presenters, did all the bring and buys, the full whack. And I think they got to the point where they'd sent me everything it was humanly possible to send me. And I always say I got my first Blue Peter badge for perseverance, because I think they just thought, for God's sake, just send this girl a badge, she might leave us alone. And then I got the green one, which is the environmental one, because me and my sister and my friend, being really, really cool kids, ran a bird club. And we used to sit in the garden and look at birds and put peanuts and stuff out for them. And we got a green one for that. So that's how I got my Blue Peter badge.
That's lovely.
And that's like on the CV above everything. Oh, forget university.
Of course, yeah.
Blue Peter badges. Yeah. Thank you for that, Rosie.
It's all right.
Rolling your eyes in the corner there. Yeah.
It's just jealousy. Our boss, Matthew, is crawling with jealousy.
But what did you do? What did you do for him? You knew how jealousy was.
He was insanely jealous of my Blue Peter badge. So I wrote to Blue Peter, asked if he could have one, and they said, unfortunately, you've got to be no older than 15. But they did send him a very lovely letter and a little patch to say they thought he was doing a wonderful job, and they'd heard all about the museum, and it was great what we were doing for kids and how we were making the museum so kid friendly. And so they sent him something.
But unfortunately, you're not a kid.
You're not a kid, and you can't have a Blue Peter badge.
We tried.
That perseverance is really shiny. So, looking at the museum itself, it's amazing that you guys won the Family Friendly Museum Award. I mean, well deserved, absolutely. It'd be great to know, like, what your current youth programme looks like, how you're engaging young people at the moment.
I love the fact she Helen's just turned her head.
I'm just letting you lead on this, because this is my domain.
So when it comes to young people, well, actually, even today we've got our fire cadets in, so we've got a really good relationship with South Yorkshire Fire and Rescue and South Yorkshire Police, and so we have cadets in to visit the museum. They take part in fun days and they take part in activities which they are doing today. So I have them right now doing and running some crafts and things like that. So and it's really good for them. It's so they're able to interact with the public, and they've got like a set amount of tasks and things that they have to do within their cadet programme. So that's sort of enabling it towards that as well. Prince's Trust, in a very similar vein, We do three 12-week programmes a year where they visit the museum with groups and work with us for one day as they're sort of part of their community challenge. We also have the police cadets, which do very similar thing to the fire cadets and come in for events and things like that. They'll be here at our Arms and Armour events, so they'll be helping out with that. We also have a thing called a mini curator. So through social media, one child joins our curator team for the day as like a little mini curator, like helping out, and they get a little badge.
Yeah, they get a little badge, and they get to look at objects and help to accession them and all that kind of thing. Nothing too rare and valuable, though.
Nothing
irreplaceable, no. Yeah. But yeah, we let them have a little play and have a go and learn a little bit about what we do with objects and stuff in the museum.
And then we work with so local army cadets as well for our World War One exhibition. So for our World War One exhibition, we built a trench, First World War trench, and they sort of helped pull together some of the general stories about life on the front line through a visit to the museum and sort of looked through some of the archives and did some research and so helped with some of the information that went towards that exhibition. We also have quite a lot of young people who are volunteering for us and also work for us. Should I name check?
You'll be in trouble if you don't.
I will, yeah. So we've got Paige, who, she's an amazing volunteer. She was originally a fire cadet, but we've not stolen her, have we? But she's...
we've stolen her
a little bit. And so she'll come in once, twice a week and do front of house and get those sort of skills. And she, I think she's really... sort of, I don't think she'll mind me saying this, I think she's really like found herself and she's really come out of her shell like since she's been with us, and she's got some really great skills while she's been here. And then Kirsty as well, who she does our Saturdays and Sundays working front of house, and she was part of our digital takeover last week, and her and Megan, who is another volunteer, they've really like got us into TikTok videos and things like that, because as cool and hip as we are, Helen.
Oh, super cool.
And yeah, I didn't want to question.
I'm all over the topic.
You're all over the topic. I've got to explain to her later, it's not a clock. anyway, so and they came up with some really fun ideas, particularly with our mascot Rocco, and sort of doing like TikTok dances and that sort of thing, and putting them on social media. And it's been a really brilliant idea. So from the from them taking over, because they were, I was like, oh, these ideas are really great, should we do some more? And then sort of like we've developed some more some bits and pieces there as well. So
we also do work through things like guts yes, and STEM, so, and that kind of thing, where we do activities. It's at Magna, isn't it?
It's basically a very big event that WorkWise run called Get Up to Speed with STEM. We go there and we interact with lots of young people in schools who are looking at different careers in STEM. And we sort of put a little bit of a different spin on it, because obviously we're a museum and also we're emergency services based. So last year we did extreme vehicles. So we had our airport fire engine. We had all these amazing vehicles. But this year we're going for a more forensics angle. So we're going to do two crime scenes. So we're going to have a Victorian crime scene and a modern day crime scene, so they're able to like interact and see what the difference is, but also what the similarities are between what a Victorian detective would be doing in their forensics and then what a modern day forensic scientist would be doing in
police. I absolutely love that. I feel like you know that you're in a fire station at the moment, and that's the last thing you'd expect you guys to be going out and doing, recreating crime scenes.
Recreating crime scenes. It's a habit, isn't it? It's a habit. We tend to do that a lot.
Our mannequin is Dead Derek, isn't it?
Dead Derek. He does become different characters, doesn't he? He does become... His Victorian persona is Maxwell. Yes. So he does have different personas.
And I know one of the things that played, you know, helped us in the award was... the effort we go to make sure that there's something for everyone, and how interactive the building is. And that's something that we've worked hard on in the last sort of probably 3 or 4 years in terms of some of our exhibitions before we redid them were very much, you know, glass cases, dusty objects, not much to do. And we really put a focus on to, yes, we want adults, you know, to be able to come in and read the interpretation and get a lot from the museum as a kind of historical venue. But we also want to engage kids with history from a really young age. And if that means that they don't read a thing that's in the building, but they can climb a fire engine, they can try a uniform on, they can play a game, they can sing a song, it's engaging them in that history from a really, really young age. And then hopefully they'll keep coming back and they'll keep discovering more and more about the museum and finding out.
I mean,
more
this
and more.
Is what's so important, isn't it? Because I think sometimes, like I said, with my older one, when I took him to some places and I was like, oh, I feel like he can't touch anything, I feel like he's a disturbance and he's a nuisance. But it's so important to be like, well, they're the future visitors, so they are the ones that will be bringing their children, and they will be coming back forever. We need to instill in them this love of heritage and this love of museums. And in particular, like, I mean, even today, I have had people who've come up to me and they said, I came when I was little in like the 80s. when it was the Fire and Police Museum, we came and they brought their own children back. Mm. And I'm like, you keep the cycle.
Yeah.
And as you say, we're for everyone, but also making sure that it's an environment that is child-friendly and family-friendly, so people feel comfortable.
You know, and the circumstances that we're in at the moment, you know, with cost of living crisis and that kind of thing, you know, we want it to be a good day out. We want people to feel like they've spent the money well and they've spent the time well. And, you know, the way we do that is making sure that there's, you know, something to engage everyone, and we've not, you know, we've not got small children who are bought out of their minds in half
and
an hour.
And the annual ticket really helps with that.
It does,
because you're only paying once, and then you can come back all year. And it's not like, you know, there's obviously a few events where, you know, it's a paid event in the evening or something like that. But the majority of our events, so like, for example, today, there's no extra charge.
Yeah.
And if you've got an annual ticket, you can just come back in for free. It's not, you've got to pay it. You've got to pay some.
Yeah.
Pay a bit extra, and then you can just come in.
No, I think it's amazing how much you've got under one roof. You literally, you skimmed over about 10 different things there, and I absolutely love that. You're just like, oh, and we've got this. Like it's nothing. But that's absolutely amazing. And I think even walking in here today, I came through the reception and I already saw at least 10 kids with a smile on their face. Mm-hmm. And you had some sensory play going on in the room next door. I think that sums up everything you just said.
Mm.
And I really like when you mentioned that you've got people that have come through the cadets and are now volunteering and working with you. I think that's really exciting, because I think we hear a lot about the young children, but it's nice to hear that you really have that focus on developing that.
I mean, that's something we want to develop more, isn't it?
We do want to do more of it, yeah. I mean, we're looking at, we've not got any new exhibitions planned for a long while, but when we do, we'd like to do something similar to the thing that Rosie mentioned with our World War One exhibition, which is look at things like, you know, how can we bring in not just what we think it should be, but what, you know, young people think it should be, what different audiences think
Again,
it should be.
Again, because we are so young and happening, Helen.
Yeah.
It is always good to find some people who are a bit younger.
Yeah.
Just a bit younger.
Yeah.
To find some young adults who are just a bit younger.
But yeah, we definitely know the stuff that we can still do and more we can do, and we're really keen to move that on, aren't we? But
absolutely. I mean, yeah, particularly, yeah, from my community's point of view, looking at that as well. And it's something we want to focus on and get more involved in.
Well, I think that feeds on quite nicely to my next question, actually. I think looking at the future, what do you think it holds for you guys as a museum and your youth programme? I think you've touched on it slightly, but can we explore that a little bit more?
We did have a youth panel in the past, but it's not become a permanent fixture, and that's something I particularly want to make sure that is what my plan is. So all my plans are sort of pointing towards that. I want that to be a permanent fixture and to have that sort of voice. And obviously, you know, we are sort of building the foundations of it with some of our young adult volunteers and things. So hopefully that's something that isn't too far off.
And I think there's definitely, as a museum, there's more we can do in terms of just pure visitors for that sort of, you know, 16, 18 into early 20s, because we have a lot of family visitors. We have a lot of younger visitors, as you said. And I think there's, yeah, we could, there's more we can do in terms of, you know, are we giving enough to that sort of, you know, older end of, mm-hmm. of kind of youth audience? And I think we can definitely do more.
Yeah, looking
there.
At like sort of talks and that activity, sort of thing,
yeah,
activities
that, kind of thing,
that
yeah.
we can focus more towards young adults.
Yeah.
I think is really key to that and getting, because it obviously, like, from, you know, from Fargo's people who've stayed, it's obvious that, you know, once you're here, we hold on to you. We hold on to you.
It's like Hotel California. You can never leave.
Well, yes, but in a good way. Yeah, in a yeah. good way, in a positive yeah. way.
But I think, I mean, in general, I think that the future's, you know, really positive for us. The momentum that we've got from winning the Kids in Museums Award mm-hmm. is huge for us. And certainly from my point of view, kind of from the PR and marketing side, I want to make sure that we really exploit that. And we, you know, we've suffered a little bit in the past because we were once a volunteer-run amateur museum. And, you know, there's still people who say, oh, well, you're just fire engines, or, you know, and we're kind of still battling against that. And we've made a lot of progress there. So I think the future is really bright, and we're really excited about what's coming. But we are independent, we are self-funded. You know, we know that if there's something around the corner, you know, it could still impact us, it could still make life difficult for us. So we continue to strive to be the best we can, and we continue to do what we can. But we never rest on our laurels, do we?
No,
in terms of what the future might hold, because we know that, you know, you never know what's around the corner.
Yeah.
I mean, God, did anybody see COVID coming?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think from winning this award, it's not sort of like, oh, well, we've won the award, so we'll just stop there. Yeah. We're the best we're ever going to be. No, because we want the legacy. We want to carry on with it and go forward. And as Helen said, just continue to be the best we can and to keep. Yeah. Up in our game,
really. And I think the great thing for us is, you know, we are northern, we are provincial,
some of us are.
Yeah, we're not small, but we're not a massive museum with massive budgets and that kind of thing. And you know, we kind of squirrel along, and we think we're doing the right things, and we get fantastic visitor feedback, and we know people like coming to us. But you do wonder sometimes whether other people are noticing that. So the award was, you know, I mean, we were absolutely gobsmacked to win it. Absolutely gobsmacked to win it. But it was so nice for someone to go, actually, we think you're doing a really good job as well, because we think we are, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we tell each other we're doing a good job.
And as we've alluded to earlier, you know, we're a very small team of staff and volunteers. We all put our heart and soul into it. And so just to have that recognition from someone saying, you know what, you're doing a really, really good job, I wouldn't say it kind of reignited anything, because the pilot light never went out, but it just made us think, God, actually, we could be amazing. We're on the right track. We're doing all the right things.
Yeah.
And days like today, you know, as you were saying, there's just kids out there having an absolute whale every time.
And can I also mention there are parents as well? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Happy children, happy parents.
Happy parents, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's a fantastic place to work. And, you know, I mean, you know, I consider myself very lucky to have found a place and to work with the. I won't make Rosie cry. She's a terrible crier.
They're aware.
Yeah. Terrible. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh gosh, yes, you blubbed like a baby, didn't you? I might have blubbed like a baby, but I didn't get to the ceremony. But let's not mention that, shall we? But yeah, it's just, you know, to work with fantastic colleagues and to really do a job where you can see the impact it's making. I think it's a fantastic place to work, and it's why we're all so proud of the award, because we really all do feel complete ownership over the museum and the direction we're going in.
Yes, and rightly so. I think you've proved today that all of you deserve that award. It wasn't just for the museum, it was for all of you, because without you guys, it wouldn't be here, would it? So that's really nice. And I like how positive you are. I think it can be difficult sometimes to, you know, with, like you mentioned, COVID, the cost of living crisis.
Absolutely.
There's a lot going on, but to hear some positivity, you know, that's very inspiring.
Especially in January.
Especially in January. Very positive in January.
I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan. I don't usually get positivity at this time of year.
Is now the time to mention that I support Rotherham? Is that a bad thing?
I mean, poor you. There's always someone
could have been worse. You could have said Sheffield United.
There's always someone worse off, isn't there?
We're all friends here. Okay. Well, thank you guys for recapping all of that. I think it would be nice to end on a piece of advice from both of you for young people who are looking to get into the arts and heritage sector. It doesn't have to be museums, but arts and heritage. Helen, I'm actually going to start with you.
Oh, the temptation to steal roses.
Don't steal my answer.
Well, I know what Rosie's going to say, and I won't steal her answer. I would say that if you're interested in arts and heritage, make sure that you've got a real passion for it, because you know it's not always the easiest sector to work in. It's not going to buy you a limousine and a massive house in the country. You know, but if that's your passion and that's what you want to do, then go for it with everything you've got. So it's not the easiest sector to work in, but it's so rewarding. So I was in PR and communications for 20 years. I've worked with some fabulous people. I worked at some good places. I don't think I've ever enjoyed a job more than I've enjoyed this one. So, yeah, I would say if that's your passion and that's what you want to do, go for it and see where it takes you.
Absolutely. And if you have that passion, I will give my advice. So if you have that passion, I would say find a local heritage or site or museum and go and volunteer, because myself and Helen will contest this as well. I've learned so much from volunteering and from being able to learn on the job. Really, as a volunteer, and to see how the museum sector and heritage sector work. I got so much experience from it that I still apply and use now from what I did when I was a volunteer. And it was really helpful, and it was instrumental, really, in me getting my first job in museums, because if I just put a teacher on my CV, I don't think I'd be here now.
So. And ditto, I volunteered here and then got the opportunity to work here, so without that volunteering, I wouldn't have got the chance. We wouldn't have been able to inveigle Matt into our way of thinking.
I don't know what you mean, yes, definitely.
Well, thank you. Great pieces of advice from both of you. And it's been amazing to speak to you and hear about you guys and the museum, the hard work that you guys are doing. So thank you so much for coming today and chatting with me. It's been great.
Thank you.
No problem. We've had a lovely chat.
You could have got on, couldn't we?
Yeah, and I mean, some people only mentioned their blue beta badges once.
There's still time.
Yeah. But let's end on that note. I have two blue beta badges.
Helen has two blue beta badges. I have no blue beta badges.
Thank you again to our guests for taking the time to speak with us, and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, there are several more in the playlist featuring some really interesting museums. Don't forget to share the podcast with your friends and your families, and we hope to see you again. And for those aged 16 to 25, we would like to extend an invitation for our upcoming Youth Summit, an event designed and delivered by young people for young people. The Future Is Now Museum Youth Summit is a space where peers can discuss the future of young people's works in the heritage sector, with opportunities to network and plenty of coffee breaks in between. If that sounds interesting, you can find more information through the link in the description below.